Welcome to this Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to our special Walnut Wednesday report, we'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news here on the show today. And I'll start things off with a look at regional agricultural news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Earth Day was last Saturday, and California's first partner, Jennifer Seibel Newsom, convened stakeholders to explore opportunities to build upon California's nation-leading farm-to-school program, which connects local farmers and food to California students while creating a more sustainable and equitable food system for the betterment of the planet. California's farm-to-school program presents endless possibilities to address so many priority issue areas: the health and well-being of children, moving the food and agriculture industry towards regenerative practices to combat climate change, creating sustainable career pathways, bolstering local economies, and building partnership within communities, according to first partner Jennifer Seibel Newsom. She said given the state's unprecedented investments in universal school meals and unparalleled agriculture production, California is uniquely positioned to scale up farm to school and create a healthier, more equitable future for all Californians. In partnership with the California Department of Food and Agriculture, Seibel Newsom led the innovative California Farm to School Grant Program. Farm to School works in tandem with California's first in the nation universal school meals initiative to ensure California's two free school meals are also locally sourced, nutritious, and delicious. Farm to School has touched over 1.5 million students, 163 school districts and educational entities, and over 50 farm and 4 food hubs. Through the program, California school districts are developing new markets for California farmers and food producers, including small farmers, women, and people of color who have historically been left out of the massive school food marketplace, catalyzing broader food systems change towards greater climate-smart practices and implementing educational opportunities and programming that connects traditional curriculum with hands-on learning opportunities like cultivating school gardens, cooking classes, and farm field trips. The event was held at Soil-Borne Farms and Ranch or Cordova, and included school superintendents, farm-to-school program grantees, farmers, members of California Native communities, chefs, and labor representatives. In news from Real California Milk, vivid colors, diverse locations, and delectable foods made with California cheese, butter, yogurt, and ice cream bring to life a new installment in a just-launched Real California Milk Freestyle Integrated Advertising Campaign. California Freestyle Volume 2, the remix from the California Milk Advisory Board, features 3 new music tracks and videos that celebrate the diversity of the Golden State, from its people to its landscaping and to the vibrant cultures that make it a special place to live and give its milk and dairy foods such great flavor. California is a leading producer of fluid milk, butter, and ice cream, as well as mozzarella, Hispanic-style cheese and dairy, and Monterey Jack. California milk and dairy foods can be identified by the Real California Milk seal, which certifies they are made exclusively with sustainably sourced milk from the state's dairy farm families. The California Department of Food and Agriculture Asian Citrus Psylliid Quarantine Program requires farm labor contractors to have a valid compliance agreement to harvest citrus groves. FLCs have until June 15th to sign and return a compliance agreement. Any FLC operating in a citrus grove without a compliance agreement after the June 15th deadline will be in violation of quarantine requirements. For more information, contact the California Department of Food and Agriculture. In its third year, Briga Fresh is trialing regenerative agriculture practices. 2022 was a learning year and an opportunity to build awareness with the company's farming peers and retail partners. In February, Briga Fresh co-hosted a free day-long seminar for Salinas Valley growers with Sustainable Conservation and the Monterey County Farm Bureau that discussed cover cropping on the Central Coast and how cover crops can assist growers with complying with Ag Order 4.0. Multiple practices are used to implement the trials, including plant sap analysis, data management, companion plantings, crop rotation, intercropping, cover cropping, soil testing, and water management technology. All regenerative trials are grown to meet GMP and LGMA standards. The objectives of the regenerative farming trials are to conserve soil carbon by reducing tillage passes that allow for an increase in soil biology diversity and decrease the consumption of diesel fuel that powers the tractors conducting the tillage operation. With these goals, the company hopes to lessen water and fertilizer usage. The next trial regenerative crop, organic sweet baby broccoli, will be harvested in June on the Braga Home Ranch in Soledad, California. Strawberries enjoy one of the highest household penetration levels in the U.S. among fresh fruits and the highest per capita consumption in the berry patch, both in fresh and frozen markets. In the latest RABA research report, it highlights that as demand continues to grow steadily, planted area in California is expanding. Record shipments are likely in 2023, but weather remains a usual wild card, particularly this season, as growing areas in California have been impacted by record rainfall. The California Table Commission welcomes two marketing managers, Darlene Avila and Stephanie Soto. Avila joins the commission as the digital marketing manager and will focus on developing and implementing digital promotions in partnership with retail marketing teams and shopper apps offered by third-party providers. She is a graduate of California State University Fresno with a bachelor's degree in business administration marketing. Soto joins the commission as a retail marketing manager and will focus on developing and implementing season-long promotions for California table grapes in partnership with retail marketing teams. She is a graduate of California State University Fresno with a bachelor's degree in food and nutrition sciences.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
The sound you just heard was James Chinchola, a walnut and cherry grower near Linden, cranking up his multi-purpose mower that's towed behind a small 80-horsepower tractor. It actually blows walnuts off the berm, mows the vegetation in the middle, and applies a narrow band of herbicide down the tree rows, all in one pass. It replaces what used to be two passes to blow the walnuts, two to mow the middles, and then an herbicide spray. For Chinchola, who farms with his father, Tom, it's all about being as efficient as possible and reducing inputs where it makes sense.
There's just so much that's changing with respect to cost that if we don't adapt, we're just not going to be here. I mean, that's a simple way of saying it. So we have to become more efficient. And I believe there's almost like a race, and perhaps I'm behind a little bit. We're just trying to catch up with inflation and the cost increases here in the last few years, plus declining commodity prices. So we got to meet that challenge. And the only way that I see that is through efficiency.
Chinchola showed off the mower and how he uses it on his cover crops during a recent grower meeting hosted by the Community Alliance of Family Farmers. This is the first year he has tried cover crops in his walnuts. But he said he wanted to begin to give back to the soil, which has been farmed pretty heavily for decades.
I became knowledgeable about cover cropping through some of the research that I've done by way of podcasts, and also the NRCS, they were offering a program to pay for a percentage of the cover crop, and that, from a financial standpoint, motivated me to get going with it. I also look at this ground right now. We've been farming it since the 40s, and before that it was farmed pretty heavily. And to me, we have to slowly give back to this ground. It just won't continue to sustain itself over time without you know, proper care. And I believe cover crop is a big part of that.
Chinchola described the mower setup as being kind of like a long train going through the orchard. A smaller tractor pulls the mower, which also has blowers on each side to clean the berms. On the back of the mower is a hitch where he can hook up his weed sprayer.
So essentially what we're able to do is we're able to take down what would take us four passes, and we're dropping down to one. And what I mean by that is, in the past, we'd have to make two passes with our mower just because our mower deck width was 11 feet. We have a 24-foot row space, so that required two passes. Then we'd have to take a pass with our blower ahead of time to blow out the strips to get rid of the mummies in the strips, and then come in through with our weed sprayer. So we're able to accomplish all that work. There's a blower on the mower. We set up the hitch on the back of the mower to pull our weed sprayer, And like I say, it's just kind of like a big train going through the orchard in one pass, and we're able to get a lot of work done one shot.
Chincholo said he is building on practice that his father started years ago. They center around keeping the orchard as clean as possible. That includes removing mummy nuts or those left over after harvest that can provide overwintering homes for naval orangeworms. After he blows them off the berms, the mummies are chopped up as part of mowing the middles. The results are much lower naval orangeworm populations at the start of the season. It must be paying off. Chincholo said last season they applied no miticides, no husk fly sprays, no codling moth sprays, and no naval orangeworm sprays, and they had good quality walnuts.
What we find is the cleaner that we keep the orchard, the better. With respect to, we're just trying to eliminate the homes for naval orangeworm to get started, and we find it very, very successful. It's a practice that my dad incorporated years and years ago, and back when labor and chemical costs were such, he was able to make four passes through. So I'm just trying to incorporate what he started doing out here years ago, and continuing to refine it and make it more efficient. The other things that I'm looking at from a sustainability standpoint, I'm looking to adapt our mower to essentially eliminate any weed spray in our strips to maybe just one weed spray right before harvest to clean the strips for blowing purposes. And then as we speak right now, I'm trying to bury some drip tube, and that drip tube will allow us to inject fertigation purposes. And I think that'll really help out as well, reduce passes of applying fertilizers and other material.
Chincholo said he opened up their walnut operation for the field day because of the knowledge it can be potentially shared. And he said he sees it as a give and take where he can share his experiences, but he also learns from other attendees.
I think there's a lot of reciprocal value that goes back and forth between the growers here and those even that aren't growers but are in the ag community in one form or the other. And I've always found great value in being open and, you know, kind of being vulnerable of what our challenges are, where our risks are. And a lot of people tend to offer help with their knowledge and or follow up later down the road with offerings of for example, here, like the mower, Verismo and Valley Tool, they offered to spend an exorbitant amount of time working with me to develop a product that'll help us in the long run. And that wouldn't come about by being closed and keeping people out of the orchard here.
With depressed walnut prices, Chincholo said he's looking to manage risk, and one way is marketing direct to consumers. He's already had success doing so with his cherries through his company Lodi Blooms, which also involves educating the consumers about farming. And Chincholo said he's going that route with some of their walnuts.
From a risk management standpoint, one is we're continuing to try to add value to our walnuts. And the way in which we're doing that is we're looking to go direct to consumer, educate the consumer about our walnuts and our cherries. We grow a fantastic product. It's an absolutely outstanding product, and oftentimes we find that our products are being shipped off to far off lands, which is great, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. However, I think with proper education, we can really educate the consumer here domestically. I think that reduces our risk overall as a farming company and truly as a nation.
As a fourth generation farmer, Chincholo said he plans to carry on the family business of growing walnuts and cherries and hulling and drying walnuts. But with super tight margins, improving efficiency has become a top priority to meet that goal. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Natural gas is an important source of energy for U.S. farms. While natural gas prices futures have fallen sharply recently, CoBank says higher prices and increased volatility could be on the long-term horizon as the energy transition accelerates and European markets respond to recent supply constraints. Rising U.S. exports of liquefied natural gas, fewer opportunities for fuel switching between coal and gas, and supply chain bottlenecks may contribute to higher domestic energy costs in the future. Over the past 100 years, the U.S. has been a natural gas island with domestic supply sufficient to meet the nation's requirements, according to a CoBank report. From a pricing perspective, domestic consumers benefited from their proximity to natural gas reserves and experienced only brief periods of high prices. However, as natural gas production expanded, it became necessary for exports to grow, increasing potential price volatility as the U.S. and EU markets become more connected. The American Farm Bureau Federation says Wall Street rules intended for publicly traded companies have no business impacting family farms and ranches. Farm News reporter Chad Smith has more on a proposed rule from the Securities and Exchange Commission that would do just that.
A proposed rule from the SEC would require public companies to report on Scope 3 emissions, which are the result of activities the companies don't own or control. Public companies producing goods from agricultural products would need to report emissions from the relevant agricultural operations. Travis Cushman, AFBF Deputy General Counsel for Litigation and Public Policy, says this would have a profoundly negative impact on farmers and ranchers.
I think it's inevitable that if a public company is required to report your emissions, they're eventually going to be asking you to track those emissions. What does that mean? It means more costs for small, mid-sized farms. It's an extra needle that cuts towards more consolidation, favors larger operations. And additionally, it's one of those things that makes it tougher for the average person to do business and would encourage public companies to integrate further.
The American Farm Bureau Federation recently sent a letter to the SEC outlining its concerns.
It was providing the SEC the legal background, the authority explaining why they should and they can exclude agriculture, carve us out of this, because I don't think that their intention is to get agriculture in, but this rule is so large and broad, that's what happened. So we were just trying to let them know, here are some legal authority to carve us out. You guys can have this rule and not implicate us.
Cushman talks about the next steps in the rulemaking process.
The SEC will need to finalize the rule. Originally, I believe their plan was to finalize it last October. We've raised a lot of concerns with this rule, and Congress has taken notice to slow down the process a little bit, but we expect them at some point in the future to come out with a final rule. When that will be is anyone's guess at this point.
For more information, go to fb.org. Chad Smith, Washington.
Depending on eligibility requirements, producers impacted by disasters still have time to apply for either USDA's Emergency Relief Program Phase 2 or for the Pandemic Assistance Revenue Program. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
There is time for eligible producers to apply for the second phase of USDA's Emergency Relief Program. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says for this revenue-based concept,
it lets a producer take a reference year and then make an application based on the affected year, and their eligibility and payment assistance will be determined based on the difference in that revenue.
Phase 2 ERP provides assistance to producers who suffered eligible crop losses via decreased revenue due to natural disasters occurring in calendar years 2020 and 2021. In addition, eligible producers impacted by revenue losses in 2020 via the COVID-19 pandemic can still apply for the Pandemic Assistance Revenue Program. Applications for both programs can be submitted at local FSA offices by June 2nd. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The U.S. dairy industry is concerned about plant-based milks and grocery stores carrying the label milk. The Food and Drug Administration announced it is reopening a public comment period on draft guidance for labeling plant-based products. The FDA is reopening the comment period in response to requests from industry stakeholders for more time for interested people to develop and submit comments, according to the agency. Food Safety News says the draft recommendations were initially published in February and are for industry comments on naming plant-based beverages that are marketed and sold as alternatives to milk. The draft guidance also recommends voluntary nutrient statements for labeling some of the plant-based milk alternatives. Products made from plant materials like tree nuts and legumes are often labeled milk. The FDA's draft guidance from February does not apply to other plant-based dairy alternatives like plant-based cheese or yogurt. Comments can be submitted to regulations.gov. The U.S. says Russia continues to undermine the Black Sea Grain Initiative, a global food lifeline also key for world fertilizer supplies. State Department spokesman Vedat Patel says the Black Sea Grain Initiative has helped stabilize world grain prices and save millions from starvation.
Over 9 months, the initiative has moved 28 million tons of food onto the global market.
But Patel says Russia is again trying to undermine the recently extended initiative.
twice in the last 2 weeks, the Russian Federation's delegation at the Joint Coordination Center in Istanbul has prevented the continued inspection of ships seeking to sail into Ukraine ports to collect grain.
Now, Patel says Russian representatives are threatening the safety of commercial ships involved in a grain deal, further undermining global food security.
By delaying shipments, restricting supplies, and keeping prices high for food importing countries. As the G7 foreign ministers made clear in their communique issued Tuesday from Karuizawa, Russia must stop using the world's food as a weapon.
Russia blockaded Ukraine's Black Sea ports early in the war and destroyed farm facilities, driving up commodity and fertilizer prices.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.